Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody greater than you, God. Nobody greater. Oh. Nobody. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that what we're all working for? Is that what we're all looking for? Have you got your eyes set on that? So in the midst of all of the things that is going on today, all the craziness that is going on today, the choices that people are making today, you got to put your eyes on where you're going. You got to remind yourself that this world is not my home. You got to remind yourself that there is no one greater. I don't care how great your situation is, that no one is greater than God. No one is greater. And he has prepared a table for us in the presence of thine enemies. Hallelujah. He anoints your head right now, right now. He's anointing your head with oil. And if you keep on doing what you're doing, keep on praising, you'll notice that your cup not just goes from empty to start to fill up, but he will just fill your cup to the brim. And when it gets to the brim, he will just continue to pour into you. Oh, and that cup will overflow, and it will just start to overflow down on your kids, and their lives will change. Your neighborhood, the neighborhood will change. Your job, your people at your workplace will have to change when your cup overflows. So just because you may be running on empty right now, remember, God is waiting to overflow your cup. Hallelujah. I just love the word of the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, just for your word and your presence. We invite you to come and just take control. Just anoint us, dear Father, from head to toe. Forgive all of the ones, dear Father, who have sinned against us as we, dear Father, forgive them ourselves in our hearts. And I ask you to forgive us for our sins. Dear Father, I ask you to bless all teachers, leaders, preachers, evangelists, ministers, apostles, all that are called by your name, doing your will, not getting caught up in tradition, not getting caught up on in the world, but just trying to live your life, live in your will, and your will is your way. Dear Father, as I move out of the way, I make room for you, for the Comforter, to come and just show us your word. Reveal things to us, dear Father, that we're puzzled about. We thank you for the healing and the surgery for the counseling. We thank you, dear Father, as he is one day from the surgery of his hip being replaced. I thank you, Jesus, for just one day stronger. The pain was tremendous yesterday, but he made it, through your help, you carrying him. Today is not as bad as yesterday. And if you give him tomorrow, it won't be as bad, because as long as we continue to lean on you, yea, though we may walk through the valley of shadow of death, as long as we continue to walk, we will make it through it. And we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And we're continuously asking that not just only the surgery on the hip, but we're asking you to take this time to recover and give him surgery on his mind, on his heart, And let me come out a new creature in Christ. And all the old things, may he just leave it right there. And behold, become a new creature in Christ. Where it's not just lip service, it's a life service. The mentality and all of the things that is upsetting him, show him a new way to deal with those things. Show him a new way to see. New eyes, new ears. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And we ask you to bless your word and reveal it to us in ways that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is Evangelist Von Dumas of Troy Anointed Ministries, and it is such a pleasure, a joy, just to be with you tonight as we continue with our work on the fruits of the Spirit. And we're on faithfulness is the fruit that we're tasting of, faithfulness. And we've spoke a lot about through how the faith by Abraham, and we've spoke a lot about Hebrews 11 is actually where we're at, 1 through 40 as we're moving our way through. And we spoke and touched on the facts about verse 6, and which we will read again as it before we go further into our studies. I first want to invite you that the call-in number is 646-652-4916. You can reach me personally for prayer or any materials that you may need by sending an email, and that would go to walkwithmegod@aol.com. Again, it's walkwithmegod@aol.com. All right. So verse 6. Of Hebrew, which is New Testament, and chapter 11 is where we're at, and it just tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It also goes on to say that God, because anyone comes to him, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So any of those who come to him must do something, must believe that he exists, and he also must believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So again, we've spoke about faith, and so many times in the world is just a being word. But actually, you don't have faith unless you have actions. Faith is an action word. And we also... I touched on the fact that when Jesus comes back again, whether you believe it or not, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And you should tell somebody that he's coming. You should get excited about he's coming. And you should start to live life like he's coming. Start to enjoy some of the things you're doing. And get some of the talents that he's given you and start using those talents. Because he's going to come back and you're going to be required to give an account of what you did with the talents that he's given to you. And some of us have many talents that he has shared with us and blessed us with. So we got a job that we need to get doing. So we need to get moving fast. Don't let him catch you with your work undone. And when he comes back, he said he's going to have rewards. Rewards. According to the deeds that we have done, he's going to have rewards. So he is coming back. And we must believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, seeking him through all times. So as we jump down a little bit now, we're looking again about examples of faith, just as we kind of recap. And verse 11 spoke to us about, by faith, Abraham, who was 100 years old, even though he was past age, and Sarah, who was 90, herself was bearing, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. He considered that faithful that if God made the promise, then it is so. As we move over into the verse 18, we also see where Abraham again, 18 and 19, had to have faith that even though Abraham, his beloved son, but he was willing to sacrifice. Faith is about a sacrificial offering to the Lord. You must sacrifice some things. You must sacrifice some ways that you feel in order to have faith. So it's very important that we understand that this faith is not just a word that we can just lay out there on the table and just let it spill off of our tongue. Faithfulness is you must be full of faith. And in order to do that, it comes at a price. You have to have a sacrificial offering. So Abraham had his son Isaac, and he was willing to sacrifice his son. See, Abraham, verse 19 says, reason that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. But before we even go that far, let's just go back to remember, even when Abraham was taking his son Isaac for sacrifice, he remembered, even though he remembered God's word and God's promise to him. And so he wasn't for sure at all how God was going to work this out, because he knew God had promised him. It said, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So now if he's going to offer Isaac up for sacrifice, how could he, through Isaac's offspring, be reckoned? So Abraham had to believe and trust that even if Isaac, if he had to go through the whole thing and kill his son, if God wanted to raise him back up, then he had the power to do it. So he had to believe that, that through Isaac, that through Isaac's offspring, that his offspring would be reckoned. So as time goes on, and we know that God had a ram in the bush, in the thicket, and he told him to offer that ram as an oil sacrifice instead of his son, Isaac. And but he was just the fact to see that he was doing what he was doing is a blessing. So by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their futures. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the kings of it. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Because remember, the pleasures of sin, there is much pleasure in sin. But it's only for a short time. By faith, Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward, the reward that he knows that he's promised by Father. The rewards that you're getting now, all the accolades that you may be getting here, on this side, in this journey, they're only temporal. They're only temporal. All of the things that you achieve is wonderful, but it's just going to be just that in the end, just your achievements. And maybe we can put it on your epitaph. But it's just going to be achievements. It's nothing that you can take with you. But what God gives me for eternal, that's a reward that's going to be an eternal reward. And so through faith, he was able to choose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was again looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He preserved because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyers of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. For we should be praying for Israel. God said, bless those who bless Israel. Bless Jerusalem. Verse 29 says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. Hallelujah. And on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. It's some things right now that you're getting ready to go through. It's some things right now that you're getting ready to go through, and it's no other way for you to get through those situations. You can't get over it. You can't get around it. So God's just going to split it wide open and take you straight through it, march you right through it. And as your enemies try to follow you, try to destroy you, capture you, scandalize your name, he's going to close those situations up and catch them right in the middle. You can't do it. I can't do it. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. Only God can do it. Only God can do it. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after the people had marched around them for 7 days. After you get through hearing from God and actually doing what it is that God has you to do, your walls will start to tumble down. You said, but why should I have to go down to the pool and bathe? Why can't he just heal me? Because he said, I am God and I do it as I please. He knows the outcome, what's best for you in your situation. What would keep you from making the same mistakes over and over again? So why did the people have to march around there 7 days? Why didn't just God do it again? It's your obedience. It's your obedience. By faith. By faith. By faith, the prostitute, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. She had to have faith. And what more shall I say? I do not have the time to talk about Gideon, Samson, Jehoshaphat, David, Barak, Samuel, you know, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edges of the sword, whose witnesses turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again, all by faith. We're still in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse 35. It says, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and jargon, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed into. They were put to death by the sword. Hallelujah. They went about in sheepskin and goatskin, destitute, prostitute, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all condemned for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had promised something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Only when we're together with Christ. God has promises for you, not just on this side, but on the other side, for eternity. He has things just waiting for you. He gets excited just thinking about when you get back together, when we all get together again. He has things, exciting things, waiting for you. God bless you all. Faithfulness. We must be full of faith. By faith. I challenge you to look in your life right now. And just, you know what it is. And just look and see, what is it that I could be doing? That I should be doing? I have not did. Because I feel a mountain is before me. I feel a struggle is before me. I feel that people are against me if I try for that. Hallelujah. Let's start looking at it by faith. At some of the examples we've given, let's start looking at how God, if Abraham didn't live by faith, he never would have got the promises that he had already promised to Isaac and Jacob through him. We have to remember by faith. What do you do when there is no faith? When there is no faithfulness? See, faithfulness is a vital part of the human being. In fact, it's so important that without it, society would just collapse. You say without faithfulness, society would collapse? Every day demands from us an act of faith that propels us into countless actions which are dependent on faithfulness of others. We eat food we haven't prepared or even checked out. We fly on airplanes that we trust have been examined faithfully. Don't we do that? We trust our health to doctors whose training backgrounds have been adequately prepared. We hope it has. You know, the old saying, an elf doctor, a doctor who made elves all the way through pre-med and all through med school, and an A doctor, their certificate still says the same thing, doctor. So we trust our health to those. We trust that others will faithfully obey traffic laws, and we elect our leaders that we hope will be faithful in duty. And, you know, and on and on, and we could just go on and on. How, as a society, we actually live by faith. We don't understand that that's what some of the things are, but we live by faith and then faithfulness, because we've been created to live and function in such an environment of trust. One reason for the lack of trust and for the lack of faith and faithfulness is that so many of us have been betrayed in our dealings and in our relationships. Without faithfulness functioning, disasters, it creates disasters without faithfulness. And some have trusted in medicine only to receive the wrong kind of medicine, cyanide, or all kinds of different medicines. Some have trusted in a banker and found out that the banker was a crook. Some have trusted a spouse only to discover hidden alcoholism or an adulteress. We've trusted in evangelists, preachers, and ministers to later discover that, you know, they're not what they pretended to be. They're charlatans. In all of this, there is one positive treasure. God is always faithful. God is always faithful. You can always trust in God. He has no false advertisements, no false claims, no broken promises, no deceptive business practices, no shenanigans behind the scenes. He is no spin doctors. He doesn't have anything that he have up his sleeve, a trick. No sleeve. no tricks up his sleeve. God is faithful. It's the rock of our foundation upon which we can build our lives when we trust in his faith. Are you concerned about faithfulness? Are you concerned about faithfulness? Just think. If things was right only 99.9% of the time, there still would be 1 hour of unsafe drinking water every month, 2 unsafe landings every day at the airport. If they were just, let's look at it again now. If things was correct and right only 99.99% of the time, there would still be about 16,000 pieces of lost mail every hour, 20,000 incorrect drug prescriptions every year, 500 incorrect surgeries every week, 50 babies would be dropped on the floor at birth every day, 32,000 heartbeats per person would be missed per year, 22,000 checks would be deducted from the wrong checking account every hour, every hour, every hour. Now that's if things and people were faithful and right 99.9% of the time. What happens then when there's a breakdown? What happens when there's a breakdown? When people fail to be faithful to vows and promises? That's the theme of our next study. Sometimes a study in contrast or the negative gives us insight to the positive. So we're going to be reading from the last of the Old Testament writers, which is Malachi. Malachi 2:10 through 17, and then 3:13 through 18. Have you ever had someone break a commitment made to you? How did you actually feel when someone broke that commitment that was made to you, that you was looking forward to, that you thought you could trust in? Think about that as we turn to Malachi 2, and we're going to start at verse 10. And remember, Malachi is the last of the Old Testament writers, okay? All right, Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 through 17, and it reads, "Have we not all one Father? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another?" Judah had broken faith. A detestable thing had been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judas had desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loved by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. And for the man who does this, whoever he may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah, God bless. Verse 13 says, "Another thing you do, you flood the Lord's altar with tears. You weep and you wail because he no longer pays attention to your offerings or accepts them with pleasures from your hand. You ask why. It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth, because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant." Someone needs to hear this tonight. "Has not the Lord made them one? In flesh and spirit they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offerings, godly offsprings. So guard your heart and guard yourself and your spirit. And do not break faith with the wife of your youth. I hate divorce, said the Lord God of Israel, and I hate a man's covering himself with violence as well as with his garments, said the Lord Almighty. So guard yourself in your spirit and do not break faith. Do not break faith. Hallelujah. Do not break faith. It's so easy for us to just break faith with one another. In our marriages, in our parent life, on our jobs, in our friendships. It's just, we don't even think twice about it. We just break faith. But think about what we just read the next time. Your word should be bond. Before you jump into these different relationships with friendships or whatever, whoever is with, think about, this could be long-lasting. This could be for life. Let's look at chapter 3. And in our closing, we're going to read verse 13 through 18. It says, "You have said harsh things against me, said the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about life mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even though those who challenge God escape, all of those things is the days that we're living in right now, right now, right now, right now. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, said the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasures possession. They will be mine. I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." And I get hope out of that verse. We should get hope as Christians. As we look around us and we see that it looks like the evildoers are actually prospering, as it looks like that the ones who do the most harm, the arrogant, are now blessed. The world is calling them blessed. They're serving everybody but God, and the world is looking up to them, putting them on billboards and posters and in movies, following their life. Hallelujah. Those who challenge God. You see people challenging God every day, and it's without escape. They're just going right on about their business. But I come to remind you, it is truly without escape. Because you will see, he will say, in the day when I make up my treasured possessions, I will spare them that are mine, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction, we all are going to see the distinction, between righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. And that's a good place for us to just say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said, let the wheat and the tares grow up together. He said, and in his harvest time, he will do the separating. He's going to separate the righteous from the wicked. Which side are you going to be on? Who are you going to be serving? What will he catch you doing? Hallelujah. And reading verses from verses 10 through 14 specifically, you can notice that commitments have been broken by the Israelites. And then verse 10, you also could notice that what happened by breaking the faith with one another. We also know that there is a connection between God and faithfulness and his people. Let's say it again. Between God, his faithfulness, and his people. And God does respond to his people that are faithful to him. Hallelujah. It tells us about some of the acts that God particularly hates. Hallelujah. God is faithful. God does not change due to age. He does not change as to place. And he does not change as to his word. God is faithful. Remember, we should always be grateful. We need to take out time every day and pray for God to fill us up with faith just to make it through another day, just so we can share the faith with somebody else. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for your word and your power and your strength. You said your people perish for lack of knowledge. And we thank you, Jesus, that we don't have to lean to our own understanding, but we can trust in your word, in your word. And if you do not know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to just repeat the words after me. Father, I love you. I believe you. I believe that you died because you came in the form of a man, and you gave your life that no one could take just for me. You shed your blood for me to cover me, to heal me, protect me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior and forever in my life. I believe you that Jesus Christ is the only way to get to you. And I confess that I'm a sinner and ask you to forgive me for my sins. If you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. This is Evangelist Von Dumas. Until tomorrow night, remember, God loves you, and the most important thing that you ever should hear today is that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always going to be there waiting just for you. We love you. God bless you.